Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Friend of the program, Charles Davis, going to join us, analyst for the NFL on Fox, NFL Network, college football, NFL draft analyst, and most importantly, one of the voices on Madden, the video game. That's how I like to introduce him.
Well, listen, if they're paying, he's staying on all those jobs. He's just like the rest of us.
Charles joins us this morning. Charles, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm well. Good morning, guys. How's everything?
Well, we're doing great. So let's go through. You did your quiz, Senior Bowl, your quiz with the Combine. Now it's the big test, man. The NFL draft. And Charles, you've been there and you're talking to everybody and everything else. I'm just curious, what are you most interested in with this draft? And besides the Kyler Murray story and what's going to happen there, give me a couple storylines as you're doing all your homework for this thing next Thursday.
Well, we all know it's a defense-heavy draft, especially defensive linemen. So I'm eager to see how they actually come off the board. Want to see how teams truly have evaluated it. And remember, each team's evaluation might be different than another, but just how they come off the board. The second part is the quarterbacks. You always end up in it, even when you say you're not. If you remember a year ago when we were talking about quarterbacks, the excitement level was off the charts going into the draft. This one, it's a little bit more muted. If Kyler Murray hadn't entered the draft, we would really be, oh, I don't know about these cues. I don't know about this. But guess what? Someone said to me yesterday, five might go in the first round. I fell out of my chair.
Wow.
And then I thought about it and said, that's how it kind of rolls. You know, people start going. All of a sudden, Christian Ponder gets moved up. All of a sudden, EJ Manuel gets moved up, right? And next thing you know, you got a bunch of guys in the first round that maybe you didn't expect, because you remember a year ago, everyone was saying, this class is terrific, but boy, you better get one this year because next year, not so great.
That's right.
And here we are talking about possibly five quarterbacks going. Then I start to get into the multiple picks in the first round teams. The Giants at 6-17 now after the trade of Odell Beckham. Do they actually get a quarterback for the future, or do they pass again and try and get defensive guys? You saw Pat Shurmur, their head coach, yesterday said they expect to get some defensive starters out of this draft. Does that mean that they pass on quarterbacks at 6-17? The next thing would be Oakland, three picks in the first round.
Ooh.
I think Peter King had something in his column yesterday about, well, what if the Cardinals don't take Kyler Murray? And I've talked to people in there, and there's not unanimity about it, although if the GM and head coach want him, obviously they'll take him. But there are other people who think you should go in another direction. Whoa. After all this, Kyler Murray might not go first. Well,
yeah.
He doesn't. His thing was John Gruden and Oakland, with three picks in the first round, might make a move to go up and get him and go from there. What's interesting about that is if you trace John's history, And I'm not speaking as a friend, I'm speaking as an analyst now, because I think a lot of people know, you know, over time that I've got a strong relationship with John based on things that aren't football, okay? We coach together, we're roommates together, and right on down the line. But as an analyst, if you go back and trace John's history with quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks haven't been his cup of tea. So that's what makes this thing very interesting, where people are just diving in
yeah.
and saying, well, Kyler Murray, John loves Kyler Murray. Well, every quarterback camp John did, everything that he did on TV, which were so great, great television. Did you ever turn off one of those and go, boy, John really doesn't like that quarterback?
Yeah, right. You know, he was tough on him in Tampa Bay. Won. You're right, boy. Oh.
Those are the types of things that I'm eager to see. And I think that for people who like offense and like runners and blockers, and even catchers this year, start thinking second, third, fourth round, because that's where the strength of those positions are going to be.
Yeah, Charles, for years when John Gruden's name came up with a coaching job, I know that the story behind it was, I'll take a team, but he's got to have a quarterback there already. I don't want to draft a guy. That was kind of Gruden's thing forever, and that's why it took so long, I guess, to take the job when he took Oakland.
I don't know what's wrong with Carr, by the way. I really like
that. Was my question. Does he? I mean, is he a Carr fan? Like, because I look at it and say,
he is.
Yeah, I'm sure right now, but Kyler Murray could be his guy.
Right, and the interesting part about it is this is all outside speculation. If you go back now, and I would say, read what John has said from January on, there's a lot of liking Derek Carr in those comments. Okay? I sat with him with Sirius XM Radio in Indianapolis at the Combine, and I teased him about the Kyler Murray thing. And he was like, yeah, the kid's a great player. Sue me. I like him. Give me a break. I've got a quarterback already named Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Okay? That's kind of where he's been on it. But a lot of us in the media, a lot of us who are outside viewers, are eager to connect that John liked Kyler Murray, so this would be great for him at 4 to go get his quarterback of the future, when his quarterback of the future might be sitting right there already. And John went out of his way to talk about how Derek played the second half of the year last year, how he threw for well over 4,000 yards, how he got better every week. I'm not convinced that if Kyler Murray is available, if the Cardinals do pass, which would be the big gasp right out of the gate in Nashville, that Oakland is actually a player for this. I don't know that they are. And that's what would be interesting, because if you really want to have some fun with this thing, have the Cardinals not take Kyler Murray at 1. And then see where he falls. Because the fit is the Cardinals and Cliff Kingsbury. That's why he's at the top of the leaderboard. Tell me where the next fit is for Kyler Murray as a quarterback.
Yeah.
No. That's when it gets fun.
Hey,
when it gets interesting.
Let me ask you, Dwayne Haskins, I keep hearing all this stuff. He's dropping. He wasn't that good at the combine. He didn't look – that's got to be BS. That kid I saw playing those last couple of games, he got NFL written all over him. Which team are you on, the good Haskins team or the bad one?
Well, I did a thing. I sound like I'm just promoting the heck out of myself right now. I feel like a NASCAR.
That's good. You do it. I want you to.
All over my fire suit. I did an article for NFL.com probably a week and a half ago, 2 weeks maybe, max, where I listed 31 guys that I have a first-round grade on. Now, this is me talking with people at the league. This is my own eye. This is me saying I think this guy has a first-round grade, what I would consider – consensus first-round grade around the league. I may be right, I may be wrong, who knows. And frankly, I think 31 is too high. I think the number most of the league has is probably between 17 and 22, 23 players, that first-round grade. But anyway, all that being said, I have Dwayne Haskins at 9, I believe, and Kyler Murray at 10.
Wow.
So it's a hair's breadth difference, but I've been a Haskins fan from the beginning. Doesn't mean I'm not a Murray fan. It's just that I've had Haskins rated ahead of him, and I've seen no reason to change it. And I've seen the ebbs and flows of these drafts where people, you know, we start out loving certain players. After a while, we get tired of talking about them. We try and find things in them. We love other players. And then the closer we get to the draft, a lot of times we revert back to our first love. It happens all the time. So I'm not saying that there's not something there with Haskins. I remember RG3 right before the draft, that thing came out. He's not the best leader you've ever heard. He's not the same guy people are saying. Well, guess what? Someone nailed that one. We didn't believe it.
Yeah.
We absolutely did not believe it. But somebody absolutely nailed that right before the draft. And there was one other I forgot that happened close to the draft that we didn't buy into. And it looks like they were correct about it. So I don't dismiss it out of hand. But I also believe firmly in that ebb and flow, and it wouldn't shock me at all if Dwayne Haskins comes off the board as the number 2 quarterback if Murray indeed goes number 1 to Arizona. That wouldn't shock me one bit, because I think he should be in that spot. I have him firmly ahead of Drew Locke. I have him firmly ahead of Daniel Jones. I have him firmly ahead of Ryan Finley, Will Greer, whoever it is you want to put up there. The idea that he would be the fourth or fifth quarterback off the board would absolutely shock me on draft night.
All right, so let's go to pick 13. Miami Dolphins are on the board. I mean, if Haskins is there, if one of the other defensive linemen is there, where do the Dolphins go at 13 in your mind?
Well, when you look at this team that absolutely has a screaming need for a quarterback, although they did, go free agency and get a quarterback who can win some ballgames for them in Ryan Fitzpatrick, I personally think that, you know, based off of what I'm hearing, and I have not talked to Chris Greer, you know, I have no inside information on it, I think they would go defensive lineman. Unless they're absolutely in love with one of the quarterbacks, or if they're just kind of of the opinion that 2020 is the year that they're going to go get a quarterback, because I do hear a lot of that chatter, the next year that they would go after a Justin Herbert or whatever. I've always found that to be a very interesting game to play. That, no, we're not going to do it this year. We're going to wait till next year's group. Well, one, we don't know how next year's group's going to play this year. Okay, in their last year in college. We don't know that anyone's going to get hurt. We don't know that anyone's going to, you know, be this and now be that. Look, Brian Brohm was supposed to have been the number one quarterback in the NFL for 2 years. How'd that turn out? Christian Hackenberg, after was the supposed number one pick in the entire draft. How'd that work out? And the Jets took him in the second round. The rest of the league was like, are you crazy? And they did it. And it turned out the rest of the league was correct.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Alliance football said the same thing.
But if you had said after his freshman year at Penn State,
yeah,
what is this kid going to be? The consensus was he'll be a top quarterback in the NFL, and he may very well be the number one pick in the draft.
Charles,
so
I know.
That's why I just don't understand that game. I don't understand that if I'm not going to get one now, I'll get one next year. You don't know that you will. You don't know your draft position. You don't know how the kids are going to play. There are too many uncertainties. If you like someone now, you should go. And then you can always get one again the next year because the salary cap doesn't kill you anymore with quarterbacks.
Talk about a couple of defensive linemen. I'm guessing pass rushers since the Dolphins got rid of three of their best pass rushers. Give me a guy inside or outside that could be there at 13 you really like, Charles.
Well, there's going to be a few of them sitting there at 13, you know. The Clemson kids will all be in play, I think, at 13.
Crazy.
And that's Christian Wilkins, inside guy. You know, he's listed as a DM, but he's much more of an inside guy. Cleveland Farrell. Not the most sudden pass rusher, but he's a very intelligent kid, very smart in what he does, and can play the run. He'll be more of an edge rusher. And then of course, there's Dexter Lawrence, who I don't think will go quite as high as people say, because the name of the game is pass rushing the NFL, and he's much more of a two-down defensive tackle, much more over the nose, but he's a good player. So all the Clemson kids will be sitting there. Will Brian Burns from Florida State still be sitting there? And do the Dolphins have him rated high enough to take it 13? He's a willowy kind of guy. He's put on weight since the draft process has begun. But, you know, when you look at him, you think maybe he plays flanker. You know, you're like, hold on a second. But, you know, he's a guy coming off the edge who would be a guy that people might take a good, strong look at and say, okay, is he still sitting there? And as every draft happens, certain guys tumble down a little bit farther than you expect. Would that be a Rashawn Gary at Michigan? People wondering about his motor, people wondering about the lack of quote-unquote production in terms of numbers at Michigan. Will he be off the board because of potential? Or might he still be sitting there hanging because people go, well, you know, and now he might be irresistible for someone like the Dolphins saying, hey, we can make him a great player. So that's going to be the fun part of the early draft, because Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle from Houston, he started the season as a lock top five guy, has dropped throughout the season, and now after his pro day is making a late rush back up the board. So this is where the fun part is. And when I say all these rushes and drops, remember, we're not saying – we don't know that the teams are saying this. This is just what we're reporting, what we're seeing, what we think we're hearing, all of those things. And that's the fun of the draft for fans and for people doing it.
Charles, thank you as always for your time. Have a great next Thursday, I guess you say, because we're going to have one also.
Saturday.
And Friday and Saturday as well. It's finally draft time or close to it. I know it's a great time of the year for all of us.
Yeah. If you guys want to show up in Nashville on Friday night and give me an IV to get me through Saturday, I would greatly appreciate it.
If that's an invitation, you might just get four guys up there. Yeah, that's
Charles.
Yeah.
Only if you bring the IVs. If you bring the IVs, we're there.
You got it.
Charles, thank you, man.
Good,
thank you so much. Take appreciate care. It, brother. Appreciate
it. All right. Charles Davis, NFL on Fox analyst, NFL Network. Just about everything, and the voice of Madden as well. Draft is next Thursday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.